Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now back in making his 18th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is NFL stats guru and a member of our 2015 Guest Hall of Fame, Russell Baxter. Now, no one on the planet knows more about every team, every player, all the history of the NFL than Russell does. Please be sure to check out Russell's website, profootballguru.com, and make sure you follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. You can also find him on sites like FanSided and NFL Spin Zone. And by the way, like we say every time Russell joins us, and it's not only a true honor, but he is a 10 times better person than he is a guest, and he's a fantastic guest, and we are very glad he's back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Russell, Chris and Bob, how are you?
Welcome back, Russell.
Good. I've got to be honest with you. I don't think I can live up to that whole introduction, so I'll probably just talk to you guys another time. So maybe I'll just take my bat, I'll take my bat and go home. So
that's right. There you go. So, Russell, you know, after week one, right, and every NFL city that lost, right, it's overreaction Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, especially here in my house and then and up in Pittsburgh. There's a lot of overreaction coming out of that debacle. But help me out, Russell. You got to talk me off the ledge. Can my Steelers rebound from a 30-point embarrassment?
Sure, why not? You know, we see it in this league all the time. I sent out a little trivia question, during the day today on Twitter, asking people if they knew the worst loss ever by an eventual Super Bowl champion during the regular season. And I got a lot of Patriots losing to the Bills 31-0 on opening day in 2003, which was such an ironic, that was the Lawyer Malloy. They cut him a couple of days before the season. It didn't go over well with the team. And by week 17, they beat the Bills 31-0 and then beat Carolina in the Super Bowl. By the way, the correct answer, Eagles 40,
yeah.
49ers 8 at San Francisco.
Wow.
The Niners won the Super Bowl. The Eagles didn't even make the playoffs.
Wow. So I take solace in that. So I appreciate you bringing that up, Russell. A little better.
Well, take solace in this, though, Chris. Take solace in this.
Yep.
12 teams in the playoffs last year, which is obviously how it's been since 1990. Seven of them lost their first game.
Yeah. Okay.
One of them lost their first three games, the Houston Texans. One of them lost their first two games, the Seattle Seahawks. So, you know, a lot can change in 1 week. I say it all the time. The only thing funnier than overreaction week one is overreaction week two.
I hope I'm not a part of overreaction week two. I hope I can feel a little bit better.
Well, it's such the one thing you see in this league now, a lot more than you used to do, is ebb and flow. You see a team get hot, and just as hot as that team can get, once they start losing, it becomes, you know, we saw it with Carolina last year, 6-2 and lost 7 in a row. We saw it with Pittsburgh last year, which was an ebb and it took them 4 games to win 1 game. They won 6 in a row. It's a very, I call this league, it's the Ray Stevens League. They call it the streak. Okay. And it's very streaky. And I can tell you this, one of the reasons that the New England Patriots have been successful for 20 years is you have to go back an awfully long, I want to say it's 2002, okay, just off the top of my head. I want to say you have to go back to 2002 to find the last time they lost 3 games in a row. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that. I might be dead wrong. That was the year they went 9-7 after winning the Super Bowl and missed the playoffs. It's the only year where Brady was the quarterback for the entire season, and they missed the playoffs since he came in there and so on. But they don't let things snowball, okay? And too often in this league, you see teams go into slumps as hot as they can get. I remember Andy Reid's team a couple of years ago were 5-0, just like they were last year. They were 5-0, and then they went 5-6. So
right.
It doesn't take long. And I think that's the mental aspect of the game. You don't let 0-1 turn into 0-4.
So let me I want to stick with the Steelers for a moment because you wrote about
Chris, I have to give you and your production staff a lot of credit. The reception that I'm getting on this show, considering you're standing out on the ledge, is simply unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you know, we have the best equipment here, so you know the reception is going to be good. So at least we got that going.
Well, I hope you have Mel Gibson out there with you from the first Lethal Weapon movie. Okay?
Indeed. Russ, you wrote three keys for each team. You wrote an article about three keys for each team, and one of the things you said mm-hmm. about the Steelers is they've had 108 sacks over the last two seasons, and that hasn't amounted to much with all of the touchdowns the defense has allowed. And you wondered in the article if the DBs are really that bad. What did you learn on Sunday night? Are the DBs really that bad?
I think New England has figured Pittsburgh out, be it Mike Tomlin, be it Bill Cowher, be it Dick LeBeau, be it Keith Butler. And I think one of the reasons that Brady and that offense excels against the Steelers is the fact that it's basically a blitzing defense. Okay? In that defense, you're not look at when Brady's lost his Super Bowls and lined up against four-man fronts, it's been a different story. That's why the Giants were able to beat them twice in the Super Bowl. The Steelers don't do that. But I don't know what their cornerbacks are after one game. I know that and by the way, cornerbacks aside, the weakness of any 3-4 defense, it really is, unless you have two really fast inside linebackers, is the tight end exploit in the middle of the field. Now, we just got done watching Rob Gronkowski for 9 years exploit every team up the middle of the field. So that's a big part of it as well. But I'll go back to the Patriots for a second. You think about their pass defense, okay? Chris and Bob, they had 30 sacks last year. They were tied for the second fewest. It's not always getting to the quarterback. By the way, the Kansas City Chiefs last year were 31st in pass defense and overall defense. They tied the Steelers for the most sacks in the league. They had 52. So
right.
What you do with that is very, very important. If you don't have the back end guys to complement it, okay, or you don't have to get a lot of sacks if you can get steady pressure. That's what I think happened to Pittsburgh offensively, okay? They kind of picked up, the Patriots kind of picked up where they left off in the Super Bowl last year in terms of the way they're cut. I mean, Stephon Gilmore has really climbed up the charts in terms of a top wide receiver. The Steelers also didn't, Dante Moncrief didn't do himself any favors the other night as well.
Yeah.
It's for lack of a better word, it's almost, and let me get to the real elephant in the room, okay? Are you really going to try to play one-dimensional football against the best team in football? Because that's
right.
What you're talking about again. And you go back, Chris, and go back to where the problems really started with the Steelers offensively when they did this. When they turned to just this passing team, it was the game against Jacksonville, okay, where they had to come back late in the game. You go back and look at the number of running plays opposed to the passing plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their last, seven games? See, they won the Jacksonville
right.
game, so people ignored it, okay? But you go back and look at their pass-run ratio or different, whatever you want to call it, and you can't get away with that kind of football. You just can't. You're telling everybody what you're going to do. I don't care how good your offensive line is. It just doesn't work. It hasn't worked for 99 years, and 1 week into year 100, it still isn't working.
No, and you're 100% right as always, Russ. And I think that's the thing that is frustrating about the Steelers coaching staff is they Fichtner is a pass happy offensive coordinator. They don't make in game adjustments very well. They keep sticking with the same things. They don't mix things up. And they end up with what we've seen over the last couple of seasons. It's frustrating that they can't think on their feet.
Well, you know, and here's what's funny. Remember, they took that losing streak into the game with New England last year. And what did they do? They ran the football. And they ran the football
right.
without James Conner. They did it with Samuels.
Right. Right.
Okay? So, I mean, I have researched this for 35 years, guys. I'm going to give you something you probably never heard before. No quarterback in NFL history has ever thrown a touchdown pass while he's standing on the sidelines.
Yeah.
It's
Bob, questions for Russell?
Well, it's crazy, but, I mean, that's what they did. They took the air out of the ball. Remember New England in that game last year in Pittsburgh? He had the one big pass play to Chris Hogan, right?
Right.
They only touched him when they scored the game.
Right.
True.
Bob, questions for Russ?
Yeah, Russ, I'm going to stick in the AFC East.
In the window, I'll feel better. So.
Yeah. My eye on this thing. I'm going to talk about the AFC East without involving New England for a change here. First of all, I was watching the Bills-Jets game, and it had that ugly quality, Russ, as you know, just not much happening in that first half, and the fans getting frustrated, and I was just interesting to see the Adam Gase and Le'Veon Bell and how this formula might translate. And going into week two, barring the injuries, not even talking about the injuries, how do you think over the next year or two this team might do under Gase? Kind of a fiery guy. They have that quality to me, Russ, where it can go south at any minute if Bell doesn't, if he's not happy. There seems to be a little fire there. If they don't win pretty soon, it could get ugly.
Well, they got a lot of personalities there, okay? One of them is certainly the defensive coordinator in Greg Williams. One of them is, you know, with all due respect, a guy who decided not to play football last year, okay? So I'm always curious to see what the after effects of that is. There are people who don't play football because they can't. And then there are people who don't play football because they choose to for a year. So that to me is always a little bit of a question mark, guys. You know, I can't get inside the head of Le'Veon Bell, but I mean, I still find it to be a very curious decision. If you're passionate about your craft and yet the one thing you're thinking about, unfortunately, is long term. And I get it to a degree, but I don't get it. And maybe I'm old school. Or whatever, but the passion for playing the game to me sometimes should override certain things. If you're willing to sit out a football season, what makes you think you won't sit out a second football season? And I'm not trying to get on a soapbox or anything like that, but I just always found that decision peculiar by Bell, to say the least. But there's, like I said, there's a lot of personalities there. But it's a team that's also, the Jets haven't been in the playoffs since 2010. You know, since they were in the last playoff game was the AFC Championship game at Pittsburgh. You know, and the year before that, they were in the AFC Championship game. So they looked like they had turned things around. It's funny. Sam Darnold obviously is going to miss some time. And they've had their share of kind of quarterback issues. The thing that has really been the issue with the defense the last couple of years with the Jets is the defense. The defense has been, and by the way, defense didn't look all that good, especially in the second half. I mean, offensively, they scored one touchdown, okay, because the Le'Veon Bell catch and then the Le'Veon Bell two-point conversion. They wound up giving up 300. Think about this for a second. The Bills turned over the football four times in the first half, all by the quarterback, by the way. Two lost fumbles, two interceptions, including a pick six to C.J. Mosley. And the Bills still wound up with 370 total yards in that game. Devin Singletary came in the second half and sparked. I mean, they outgained the Jets by well over 100 yards. The Jets offense was really kind of null and void the whole day. But I like what you said there, though, because it's, I don't know what's going to be like the next couple of years, but this kind of loss, squandering one at home, in a way, it was like what happened to the Bears. Okay, you're at home, and you lose a divisional game. Okay, and That's what comes back to bite you. By the way, I will say this. I would like to give a lot of credit to the Bills, because what Buffalo did this offseason in terms of rebuilding their team, I mean, go back and look at what they did. It wasn't a lot of flashy stuff. It was a lot of offensive line. Okay? Because Josh Allen last year led their team in rushing. I don't think they moved up in the draft for him to be their top ball carrier. Okay? But why did he leave? Was it designed? I don't think so.
No.
A lot of it was him running for his life. Okay? Leaping over tall buildings in single bound. I mean, Josh Allen leaping over people was kind of the calling card for him last year. His accuracy was, I mean, I don't think he threw the ball enough to get in any kind of passing rhythm. But they went out and got Mitch Morse and Quentin Spain and, drafted up linemen in the second round. They built themselves up in the trenches. They improved their run defense by getting Ed Oliver and so on. They're going to be a pain. The Bills are going to be a pain in the neck. Okay? They really are. And, you know, what's going to be interesting this week is, in fact, I'd love to know this. The Bills are back playing at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. They're playing the Giants this time. Any chance they were allowed to leave, like, their uniforms there?
Why take the luggage home? Just leave it here?
Why bother?
Yeah, I said to Julie Boyd today when we were, you know, talking about the next our next episode and so on. I said, I think I'm going to hashtag for the Bills. Instead of hold my beer, how about hold my gear?
Good boy, right?
Indeed.
And, Russ, I want to ask you one more question. The team we haven't mentioned in that division yet, the Dolphins, the only thing I took away from the Ravens game was the fact that Brian Flores probably wanted to be back in New England on Sunday night, because that game was over after the first quarter, never mind the half. Is there any guidance or what's happening? Is there a plan down there? I have Dolphin fans asking me, what's their plan? Because they're floundering right now. Ryan Fitzpatrick there. We know it's a stopgap, but they have nothing, Russ. Nothing. Nothing good came out of that game.
Well, I think that's kind of the idea. I will not say the T word. Okay.
Okay.
But I think, and I'm being very, very constructive here. Okay. But you have to go back and look at the Dolphins. Now, guys, we're all relatively the same age. Okay. So we do remember when the Dolphins were one of the marquee franchises in this league. Okay.
Right.
You know, the 70s, they went to 3 straight Super Bowls. Don Shula, Dan Marino, blah, blah, blah. I don't have to give you a history lesson. You know, there was a time after Shula retired from 97 to 2001, the Dolphins were in the playoffs still 5 straight years, even after Shula was gone. Okay. Now think about this for a second. Since 2002, and I bring that up because that was realignment to the current 8 divisions, Miami Dolphins have been in playoffs twice. Twice. They had a 1-15 season in 2007. Okay, they have one of the worst records since realignment. Okay? And I think one of the reasons they've had the issues that they've had is they are constantly trying. Do they still have that dolphin swimming around in the tank down there?
I tend to doubt it.
Why, okay? And I'm trying to do a goofy analogy, so bear with me. Every time there's a crack in the glass, instead of buying a new tank, they try to fix it with duct tape. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. They have spent money on free agents, big money, like an Ndamukong Suh type of move and so on. But they haven't done anything long term. They have not drafted well in years. Okay? So I think if you're going to fix the Dolphins, and I said this earlier in the year, you have to change the culture. You have to change the culture of the franchise. Now, they brought in a guy who comes from the most cultured franchise in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They understand that a lot of the players that they had there were not guys they brought in. Okay? They needed to change the culture. So right now, as of right now, they're sitting with like something like 13 draft choices in 2020. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they traded Robert Quinn to the Cowboys. They traded Tannehill to the Titans. They just did the Laramie Tunsil Kenny Stills deal, which, you know, obviously was a boon for Houston and so on. If you're going to fix it, you got to gut it. Okay. And for the people who say they're quote unquote tanking, if the Dolphins, this is the way I look at it. If the Dolphins really wanted to tank and keep losing, why not keep the players they already have? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, how bad have they been? Okay. They were a playoff year when Parcells was there in 2008. They were 1-4 in 2016. Got hot. It wasn't even Tannehill. It was Matt Moore because Tannehill got hurt. Okay. That's it. Two playoff appearances for the Miami Dolphins since 2002. If I was telling you that was the Browns, right? In fact, the Browns have been to the playoffs once since 2002 and the Dolphins have been there twice. What does that tell you?
Yes. Agreed.
I think people are surprised to know that. I mean, you know, the Raiders have been to the playoffs twice since 2002. If you're a child of the 70s and you got used to seeing the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the Steelers being really good, the last decade and a half has been a culture shock.
Yeah.
With the exception of Pittsburgh, who, you know, who obviously has kept its head above water and made a couple Super Bowl appearances. But the, what happened to the Dolphins and the Raiders? They went from the sea of hand to the sea of mediocrity.
That's not even mediocrity. The sea of underachieving.
No.
Russ, before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can keep up to date with all the great things that that you're doing, you and Julie are doing, and read your stuff because it's always fantastic.
Well, I appreciate that. Backs Football Guru on Twitter. PFG Vibe is our other Twitter account. That's Julie and I. For those wondering, Vibe means voice insights and Baxter's expertise. If I didn't need a head of lettuce at Stop and Shop one night and pulled into the parking lot, it came to me. If I didn't have to get something to eat that night, we would have never had PFG Vibe. That's a true story. by the way, Julie's account is Julie Noted. Get it? Julie Noted. Underscore PFG.
There you go.
Okay.
Right.
So, we did something over the summer where we were able to get, and I still don't know how I did it or we did it, 32 guest writers to write 32 team previews unselfishly. Okay. I can't thank them enough. We ran them twice a day. You know, from the people at Full Press Coverage, to the ladies at Our Turf Football, other people just wanted to write. And some of those writers have now stuck around because they just want to write. And, you know, I love that. Okay. I just love that people who just have passion for what they do. It's like Jesse Pearson and Brandon Fazzaroli, who does a history piece for us every week, and Pete Fasulo. They're doing game previews now. It's a lot of fun. You know, Julie and I just created something new. Here we go with the acronyms again. We have what's called the Pat on the Back, PAT, player and team. So every week we pick the offensive player, the defensive player, and the team of the week. Okay. I can't do anything without, I guess, an acronym. It is an acronym, right?
It is.
It is.
Indeed.
Well, it is now. I mean, I can't do anything without an acronym, right? So, we're having a blast. It's 1 week into the season and we're already having a lot of fun. And, you know, sometime soon, Julie and I will do another, podcast. We've got some things lined up, but we're, you know, both kind of concentrating on our writing. But I love coming on with you guys. I have to say, you know, it's fun. It's football. It's a discussion. It's not, you know, it's not a jury. You know, it's really what football and sports talk should be, because it's an actual conversation. Having a conversation, what a novel concept on Sports Talk Radio.
Well, Russell, we can't thank you enough, my friend, for all your support over the years and being a wonderful guest on the show and a part of our guest Hall of Fame. You're fantastic. We look forward to having you back on the show again real soon.
Oh, well, that'd be great. 10 minutes?
Yeah, that's right. Call us back at a quarter till. We'll do it all again.
Yeah, that'll enable you to slip back in the window, you know, change your clothes, and then come back out.
That's right. That's right. Russ, thank you, my friend. You're the best.
We'll be in touch. Thank you, Russ.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
See you, Russell. That's a great Russell Baxter. At Bax Football Guru, he's the best. Go check him out online. You know, profootballguru.com is his home site. And like I say, no one knows the game, no one knows the players, the stats, the history better than Russell, Bob. He certainly is a gem.
Yeah, like you said, him and Julie have a lot going on, Chris, different accounts, but it's all football related, and they're covering the whole league with all these writers they have too, which it's great stuff. Again, go to Twitter, get on Russell's handle there, and you'll get all the other addresses from there. It's great stuff if you love football.
We've got our next guest, Willie Simmons, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Coach right on the other side of this real quick station break.